I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
1, 2, 3, 4! Welcome to the Badass Women Hour podcast, Extra Bits, our little gift for you podcast subscribers. This week, we're talking to Jordan Waller, actor and writer, who's about to launch a play all about his life growing up with two lesbian mothers. He talks about what it's like to be the only one at school with a different family setup, why he went looking for his biological father, and what it was that drove him to become a sperm donor.
Badass Women's Hour XL on Talk Radio.
She'll get you talking.
We're now joined by Jordan Waller, the actor and writer of new show at the Vault Theatre, The D Word. Jordan, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
So tell us, The D Word is about a young man growing up with lesbian parents. Your life story inspired the story, is that correct?
It is indeed, yes. I'm very much like Jesus Christ, because I'm a sperm donor baby. And I'm also born of lesbian parents, a little bit like Jesus Christ, as I say in the show. And unfortunately, 2 years ago, I lost my mother to cancer. And it left this indelible kind of mark on me and a great gaping hole in my life, as you might imagine, that I tried to fill in by tracking down my biological father, which is an impossibility because he donated before the sperm donor anonymity laws were raised. So I can't actually know who he is. But I had this great desire to heal myself. And the D Word explores how young men cope with defining their feelings and the struggles that I went through doing that, and the sort of erroneous path that I took to learn that in order to mourn, you have to accept certain things in life, absence more than anything. Live alongside the holes that we all have.
Love that. How old are you now, Jordan?
Oh, I'm 26. I'm about to turn 27.
You sound exhausted.
I mean, I really am.
You can't, until you're way over the 30, you might complain.
No,
so that, for me, I mean, I imagine you growing up, I'm assuming that there were not a lot of other kids with lesbian parents at the school gates.
Do you know what? Funnily enough, there weren't initially.
No.
And I was I had to leave my first school because I was bullied, because my mum's second partner and my third mum, who's maybe could be called a more obvious lesbian, stereotypically anyway. Yeah. She came to pick me up at school one day and declared herself as my mum's partner. And at that time, we were sort of in the closet about it because it wasn't acceptable. My mum actually could risk losing her job were she to say that she was living this sort of lifestyle. So I was bullied relentlessly because one of the after-school teachers sort of spread it around the kids and the parents, which is a rather pernicious thing to do, and I had to leave. But then I went to my second school in Bristol, and suddenly it was a really cool thing, and I kind of loved it, and gay became this really sort of subversive. Everyone was really jealous because I had you know, I had two mums, and everyone was like, "Oh
cool.
God, I just got like some really boring, you know, man." Who watches football. So weirdly though, there was another boy who turned up. It was Bristol, is such a sort of, you know, bougie, Hessian wearing, quinoa munching middle class oasis. But this other boy turns up, and he's got lesbian parents too. And I hated him, to be honest with you.
The special status was just gone.
Yeah, I know. It's really, yeah, I felt very...
Was that good, though? Was it good to have another child that had that came from a similar upbringing and family dynamic?
It was very strange because I think in order to cope, I kind of made I made myself into a sort of Jesus Christ figure, actually, and I explore that a lot in the show, because I was so unique that I had to sort of really wear this pink badge with pride, and feeling that, you know, I was actually not the only one. It was kind of a great thing, and he's a lovely, lovely guy that I actually still keep in contact with a little bit. It was really strange. It was really strange, but that's Bristol for you anyway.
And so in the show, you say you decided to go off and try and find your biological father. Did you know when you started that it was going to be an impossibility?
I did. And I think in the show, there is, I had to sort of leave the facts behind a little bit, and I had to mind the truth of what I wanted to do, because if you're going to create a sort of theatre show, that you've got to create a compelling narrative, and actually the mess that is reality, you know, is really navel gazing and not particularly compelling for an audience. So I did, and some of the steps that I took was that, you know, I registered with all of these very bureaucratic organisations to see if he had come forward and wanted to be known. HEFA is one of them, which sounds like sort of Peter, but for sperm donor dads. And I found out that I have siblings. I have five siblings.
Potentially
that I'm in the process of, you know, maybe getting in contact with, perhaps. See how the show goes. And I also wanted to become a sperm donor myself. So I donated sperm.
What made you do that? What was the kind of decision on it?
It was, I suppose it was a way of maybe feeling close to my father, or feeling like I was sort of doing what he'd done before me. But more than anything, it was a way of honouring my mum. I felt like I really wanted to do something concrete and do something to honour her memory, because I felt terribly guilty, because as we all do, we don't see our parents enough. And when they're gone, you have so much that you wanted to say to them and that you weren't able to. So it was a sort of, you know, doomed way of saying, I love you, and I think what you've done for me, the gift of life, is amazing, and I want to carry on doing that for other families, because I think it's amazing.
What was it like casting your mum in the play?
Well, I play her myself.
Oh, well.
I do impersonations of all of my mothers, and it's been an ongoing threat that I've made against them. I've always said, because they raised me in this sort of alternative way and I've had to suffer so much because of that, I would one day write a sort of French farce in a house set in Brighton, you know, with all of them, and I would take the mick out of them effectively. So I'm finally getting to do that. But they're amazing, and they really don't mind. They don't mind how much I take the mick out of them. They're so supportive. They are honestly the most amazing parents ever. Even the dead one, you know. It's just I couldn't ask for more.
Did you enjoy writing it, or has it been quite hard to write it?
Horrible to write it. But because, like I said before, making a sort of clean narrative out of all of this mess, and, you know, death is something that we just can't understand. It meant that I really had to dig very deep and open up a lot of wounds that hadn't really sutured up to that point. So while it was incredibly difficult, and I had to group together a lot of the facts, I had to group together lots of sort of people into energies in order to make the characters clearer, etc., etc., it was an incredibly cathartic and kind of healing process. And it's just now I have to perform it. I'm really worried about doing that, so I'll have to see how it goes.
You're saying this is your kind of first time professionally on stage. You've mainly been doing TV work.
Yes, I have. I've mainly been doing TV work and a few films. I've actually just wrapped on a film that I wrote and that I'm starring in, tentatively called Go Home, which is a Brexit comedy horror. It'll be in cinemas near you in about June. And that was out in Australia, which was an amazing experience. And I'm going to film on another film that I've written that I'm going to play a small part in, called Off the Rails, which is a sort of light comedy drama about middle-aged women, because that's my métier.
Do you see yourself as more of an actor or writer?
I think that I feel very disempowered by acting sometimes. So, you know, when you're out of work, the best thing to do is just to, if you can, write yourself parts, because God knows no one else.
I thought you were actually going to ask, do you see yourself as more of a middle-aged woman? That's what I thought you were saying.
Yeah, no, I'm a lesbian, really. I just happen to sleep with men.
Jordan, it's so lovely to have you on the show. Thank you so much. The D Word by Jordan Waller is running at the Vault Festival from the 13th to the 17th of February. I think we've had a taster. I think we can safely say it's going to be hilarious. Jordan, if anyone wants to find out more, follow you, find out what you're up to, where should they be looking?
You can follow me on Instagram, you can follow me on Twitter, but you can also visit the Vault Festival website where you'll be able to find the D Word and book tickets. And I'd really love you all to come. Yes,
brilliant. Thank you very much for joining us. 1, 2, 3, 4! This has been the Badass Women's Hour podcast with me, Harriet Minter, Natalie Campbell and Emma Sexton. If you want to hear more from us, you can come follow us on social media at Badass Women's Hour, HR, or leave us a review and tell us how much you love us. We really need to feel the love. 5 stars should do it.